Good morning. I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to each one that has come out to this morning's worship service and to those that are listening by other means. A hearty welcome to each and every one. It is truly a joy to be here in your midst and to serve you with the Word of God. My name is Henry Reimer, and my wife was able to come with me, and that is always a blessing to have her by my side. I want to greet you with the words which we find in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, where we read, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And when we look into the verse 4 there where he says, who gave himself so that we could have life for all eternity. He has done his part. And he extends his grace and his peace towards those that love him. And we know that that peace cannot be upon someone that doesn't know him. But to those that love him and that have dedicated, given their lives to them, he gives them the peace. And that is my prayer, that each one here today is truly at peace. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Father, we thank you that you are a God of love and that you love your creation. You love those that you have created in your own image. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look into your word today, we sing songs to praise your name, that whatever is said and sung, that it might all be done to your honor and glory. Father, I pray for each one that has come and those that are listening, not only today, but maybe in the future, that your Holy Spirit would be upon them and that they would continue to prepare themselves. And we know that is a daily task. When we relax, we know that Satan, he's out there, and he wants to get us down. Pray that we might look into our lives each and every day, each and every moment of the day, and that our focus and desire would be on you. Father, we know that you know our hearts, you know our desires, you know our motives, and pray that if our motives and our desires aren't right, that you would touch us in a way that we would realize that and that we could get them to where you would want us to be. Father, we thank you for this last night where we're able to rest our physical bodies. We thank you for this country and the freedom that we have. Pray that we would never take that for granted, but that we would continue to uplift the leaders in our country. And should they not know you, Lord, that your Spirit would be upon them in a mighty way and that they would sense that you are truly the God of love and that your interest for each and every one of us is the best and that you want us to look to you and that should there be those that don't know you yet, that they would get to know you. Father, we pray for the Sunday school, pray for the students. We know that when we're young, there is so much energy. Pray that they would be able to contain it and that they would be able to listen to what the teachers want to speak to them. Pray also for the teachers that as they have given of their time, that you would bless them and that they would be open to your leading because you know each and every one of our hearts and you can speak through one person and speak to many different people at the same time. Father, I pray for each one that has a part in this service that you would strengthen them and also pray for myself as you give me the words to speak, that I would speak each word boldly. We pray this all in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. We'll have a few songs at this time.
Let us take the red book and turn to number 284, Jesus, Savior, Pilot, Me. Number 284.
253, the time is short. 453.
I want to go back and where I started off from, where I took my verses from to start. And the first verse in Galatians chapter 1, Paul, he's speaking there. It says, Paul, an apostle. And then it goes on and it says, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And I do believe that Paul knew exactly what he was talking about, what he was talking about when he wrote these verses, that he was not of men, neither by men, but that he was chosen by God. And he went out in faith, allowing God, allowing the Spirit to lead and to guide him, because the disciples didn't want anything to do with him when he started his ministry. He had persecuted the church. And so he went out where the Spirit taught him. And that is what he's saying here, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And my question to each and every one of us here today is, who are we serving? When we look at our life, who is leading us? What is leading us? Is it God or is it the world? Are we led by the Holy Spirit? Or are the ways of this world interfering with our lives? In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And I want to use that as my text words. And when we look at this verse here, it says, "Let us consider one another." And we also know that that is what Paul's will was when he served. He always sought the best for others. And that is also what Jesus' walk was when he was in this world, to seek and to save the lost. It wasn't Paul wasn't living a life what was best for him, but he lived a life what was best for those around him, those that he could lift up, those that he could encourage. So in verse 24, we start off, "And let us consider one another to provoke." What does provoke mean? When I looked up provoke in a dictionary, it talked about arouse or to stir. And then it went on to say to call forth, to stir up purposefully, to provide the needed stimulation for whatever we're going through at the moment or what somebody else is going through at the moment. To provide the needed stimulation for, to provoke. And then it also went on to say to arouse one into doing or feeling or to produce by so rousing a person. To go out and to intentionally approach, or first of all, I could say live our life intentionally, that when the world looks at us, that they can see Christ, but then also purposefully going out when we see someone struggling, that we go and try to help them. Or when we see someone who is up and they're encouraged and they're full of joy, that we purposefully go out and we talk to them. We encourage them to continue, not to give up. And that is something that we have to do for those that are down and also those that are up, because we know that life isn't always roses, right? When we look at the rose tree, there are many sharp needles on it. And that is life. There are many things that come our way where we need that encouragement, or we can be that encouragement for one another. So if we want to arouse or stir the gift of someone, we must know the truth. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, it says, and I look at this verse, and if we want to know what is truth, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And in verse 24, my text verse is, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching." Verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." So in these few verses here, it talks about let us draw near, let us hold fast. And he goes on, not forsaking the assembly, not forsaking of gathering together and being encouraged. Something that we so desperately need. Because when we leave this safe place, we know that the world is out there and they have so much to offer. On every side of us, there's so much out there that the world has to offer that they think that we have to indulge in if we want to enjoy life. And yet if we want true freedom, true joy, we need to seek God every day. We need to draw near. We need to hold fast. And he goes on and he says, without wavering, without doubting. In John chapter 14, verse 6, if we want to know what truth is, and we look at John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he has given us a roadmap. He has told us who he was. And we know that we weren't there when Jesus walked in this world. But we do have a roadmap. And we need, if we don't have faith in Jesus Christ that he came into this world, that he died on the cross, he gave himself for our sins, what's the purpose of living? And that faith is what gets us through. And we can hold on to verses like this where Jesus says, and these are his own words, this is what he told the people. He says, I am the way. And he still is the way. He still is the truth. And he still is the life. And in the last part of verse, he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. And we know when we listen to what is going on in the world, they're telling us not to take it so serious. There's more than one way to God. When you look at yourself, you don't even know if you're a man or a woman. Your feelings will indicate, they will tell you what it is, who you are. But God has created us. He knows exactly who he has created. He knows what struggles we're going through, and he knows that he will also, and we know that he will also help us through. If we go to John chapter 8, in verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Again, the truth. Do we know the truth? Do we know that we need to continue? And by continuing, as I mentioned already, we cannot indulge in what this world has to offer. And that doesn't mean that we can't be in this world. Yes, we don't have a choice. We're born into this world. We need to go through with the light, with this life. But there's a difference between living in the world and being of the world. And that's what he's telling us here. He says, if ye continue, if you hold true to the word of God, leave the ways of this world behind. I was invited to a hockey game one time in Winnipeg. One of the Jets games. That was the first time, and I pray the last time that I will ever step foot into that building when there's a hockey game. I cannot see how God can be in that place. And that doesn't mean if we should go there that we can't be a service to God. But with all the noise and all the shouting and everything going on, for myself, I couldn't see anything godly in it. And I had no desire to go back. And there are so many people that live in it. They know exactly each player. They know how many scores, how many times they have scored, put a goal. They know everything. And he tells us, if you continue in my word, what are our children seeing in us? Are we encouraging them in the word of God? Or are the ways of this world, and it's not only sports, there's so much more. What are they seeing? What are they being encouraged with? What are they growing up with? The solid rock of Jesus Christ, is that being taught at home? Or is that only Sunday morning where we come to church and fill our spot? In verse 32, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Reality. Verse 36. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." As I read this verse, the thought came to my mind of how Jesus has truly freed us. When we look into the Old Testament and what the people had to do in order to have forgiveness for their sins, how they had to sacrifice offerings for different offerings for different sins, and it only came around a certain time of the year, and how he has truly set us free where we don't have to remember what we've done, what kind of sacrifices we'll have to offer, but where we can come to him when we know we've fallen short, and he sets us free right there. And truly, he has set us free. We can enjoy life, and we do not have to be entertained by what this world has to offer. If we go to John chapter 1, verse 17. John chapter 1, verse 17, and this talks about the freedom that God has given us. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The people could be set free in the Old Testament just as well as we. But there are different ways of getting to that freedom. We can be set free. Have you been set free, and are you still free? Or have we gotten back into the world and we've been entangled with the ways of this world? John chapter 1, verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of man." Again, truth. In Jesus Christ, in him was life. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He came into this world. He grew up the same way we grew up. He was tempted. He was tried. But in him was life. And he did not yield to the ways of this world. We're born of a sin nature, but we can also have that life within us where the Spirit when things come our way, the Spirit will enlighten us. It'll give us understanding. Sometimes there are choices to be made that are so close. Is it right or is it wrong? And sometimes there's choices that we need to make which won't make a difference. Is it right or wrong? But how do we handle it? How do we take it? And then going to John chapter 10, verse 9. John chapter 10, verse 9. Again, Jesus says, "I am the door." Before we read, "He is the way, the truth, and the life." And here he says, "I am the door," giving us another truth. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And I find encouragement in this word, in this verse, of him being the door. And he tells us that if we come to him, if we give ourselves over to him, we will be saved. And not only will we be saved, but we will be able to go in, we will be able to go out, we will be able to go about in this world where he will protect us, where he will lead us, where he will guide us. Just like he protected Peter. Just before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus said, "The time has come where they will crucify me." And Peter says, "I'm going to protect you." What does Jesus say? He says, Satan, get behind me. Selfishness has no room in him. He told Peter, Satan, get behind me. In other words, you cannot do this on your own. We can't do it on our own. We need to allow him to lead and guide us. But then right after that, Jesus also encourages him. And he says, but I have prayed for you that you will endure, that you will not fail. Have we surrendered our motives to serve him, where he would also be able to say to you and to me that if there's selfishness, where he'll say, Satan. But then he'll be able to say, I've prayed for you that you will not fail. When our motives are to serve him, and that is what our desires are, and that is what we focus on, and that is who Peter was. He wanted to, yet he was born of a sin nature. He fell short. We will fall short. But there's a difference between falling short and getting up. If that is what our intentions are, to when we fall short, that we want forgiveness, when we realize that we have fallen short, that we truly seek forgiveness. Or the way Judas handled things, where he was a treasurer for the disciples, where he stole from the money, where he sought his own will. He looked to himself. That is what was important. And later he actually went out and he asked, how much will you give me if I show you who Jesus is? Can we see the difference between Judas and Peter? How one wanted to serve and yet he fell short. What did Peter do when he realized that he had denied Jesus 3 times? He actually said, he cursed and he swore and he said, I don't know who this man is. When he realized it, he went out and he wept bitterly. He was sorry. Judas, he was also sorry. He went back, he threw the money back to the high priest, but then he took life into his own hands. Where are we at? Do we provoke? Do we love? Is our desire Christ? Or is it the ways of this world? We have an opportunity, and I believe it is a wonderful opportunity, where we as a conference have a time where we can go to God, the one who has created us, in silence, and just pour out our heart to him. And I want to encourage you to do that. If you can kneel, and if you can't, we can always bow our head and pray. But let's pour out our heart to him and allow him to show us exactly where we're at in this life. For those of you who are able, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Let's take our blue book and turn to number 505, Footprints of Jesus. 505, let's all stand. Thank you.
we have prayed in the name of Jesus, we can be assured of He will have heard our prayers. Thank you for that very, very fitting song. And so many times, probably almost every time, how God, the Holy Spirit leads. I've sometimes wondered when they've been in my study to know what I would speak about. And yet, God leads in mysterious ways, right? He knows our thoughts, He knows our motives, and He knows the future. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 to 26. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So when I was talking about Paul before and how he knew what he had written there, that he wasn't chosen by man, but God had chosen him to serve him, even though he had persecuted a church. And there again, I find that fascinating how Paul, when he was still Saul, how he persecuted the church, but he did that with all that he had, with all his might. He went and he sought permission from the church, from the leaders of a church to do that. And then he went out and he did that. And when he was struck down and he was told that you will now serve me, and when he realized that he was on a wrong road, that he was persecuting the church, that he turned around and he knew full well that he would be persecuted. And here in this verse 21, he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Pray that is also each and every one of our desires here in this world, to live is Christ. And should someone kill us or God take us away, glory in heaven for all eternity, where there won't be no more sickness, no more sorrow. He goes on and he says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what shall I choose? What I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So here we go. This is Paul's motives. These are his desires. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It would be better to be in heaven. But now he says in verse 24 here, he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, to seek and to save the lost. And that is what Paul did. To go out, to help the hurting, to be there for the needy, to encourage those that were doing well. Verse 25, he says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and the joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, by me coming to you again. Sometimes when we see a person struggling and you've been there and you've been there and you've been there, and sometimes I get discouraged and I wonder, what will it take? Like, been tried to help. How often is Jesus waiting for you and for me? How often are we failing? What will it take to wake us up before it's too late? And not give up on those that are maybe struggling. Maybe we've tried so hard already, and yet we can't give up. As long as there's life, as long as there's breath, there's hope, right? There's still hope. And so we shouldn't give up. We shouldn't get discouraged. I want to turn back to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse starting in verse 33. John chapter 18, verse 33. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which I spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and thy chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest, I am a king, that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. In the first part of verse 38, it says, Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? I find it interesting how Jesus answers Pilate when he was asked in verse 33 there, where he asked him, and Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did someone else tell it to you? And that's also a question that I often have to ask myself. When circumstances come before me and I make choices and I have to make choices, will they be pleasing to God? Or am I doing that of my own will? Do I have enough truth within me to know how to make wise choices? That the choices that I make, that they will truly be God-honoring. God has placed people in my life that we all have different talents, right? God has given you talents. He has given me talents. And to me, sometimes it is black and white. There are things out there that are just black and white. And God has placed people in my life to whom what I think is black and white, they have no idea what I'm talking about. And that got me frustrated for a while till I realized that God has given us different talents. And to be able to make wise choices, to be able to treat that person fairly, I had to come to that point and realize that to him it just isn't black and white. And that we need to treat people with respect. We need to know when the person is denying or when he just doesn't know, right? So do we have enough truth within us that we are able to, when these things come before us, is the Holy Spirit within us, and are we allowing that Spirit to lead us to be able to choose wisely? We had a Bible study a while back, and one person read an article of a home pastor versus a motivational speaker, and how the home pastor had helped someone in their congregation many, many times already through all kinds of hardships. And then when this person was challenged on the things that he was doing, he says, you're just old-fashioned, you don't know. I listened to some motivational speakers, I listened to some speakers on the radio, and he says it's okay. I went home, we went home. Next morning, I had to go to a job site, and the radio, I don't know if I switched it on or was it on, and it's 1200, it's supposed to be a Christian station where, and they have a lot of messages on it. And I just heard the end of a conversation of, is God a mother or a father? So there's two people that are discussing, is God a mother or father? And then I heard the conclusion of it, and the one was a man, one was a lady, and the lady says, I feel comfortable praying to God as a father because of the Lord's Prayer. And I thought to myself, comfortable? What is comfortable? Do we know the truth? Or are we just comfortable going about life? Just, well, this looks okay, that looks okay, and we're comfortable with it? Or do we truly have a truth within us? Because God is truth. And there's so many verses in the Bible indicating to God as the Father. Jesus born as a son. Jesus praying to his Father, to God in heaven. Do we know the truth? Or are we just leisurely traveling through this world, thinking it's good to be comfortable, accepting the ways of this world? Because that won't be enough. When he talks about provoking one another unto love and to good works, that's not many times not being comfortable. Approaching people when they live in sin. And many times when you approach someone who's living in gross sin, they'll say, you're judging me. When we take God's word and we apply it, it's not judging. We're speaking the truth. And we should love people enough to go out and not be comfortable and talk to them about it. Because that's how much God loves us. There was no comfort in Jesus coming into this world and dying on that cross. But he has gone back to heaven and he's preparing a place for you and for me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And then he goes on and he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Being able to divide the word of truth. And in order for us to be able to divide the word of truth is, we will have to study. We will have to know. It doesn't come on its own. Satan is out there. He doesn't want us to have peace in our hearts and walk around with joy in our face and a spring in our step. But we can have that, as he states in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study. By studying, we can know the truth, and this truth will set us free. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't that encouraging? That if we go out in truth, we can know that God will be there with us. We won't have to face whatever we're facing on our own, but God will be there with us. Who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then if we go down to verse 35 to 39, I want to close with these verses where he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or perils or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then he goes on and he says, for I am persuaded. Are you persuaded or are you comfortable? A question we have to ask ourselves. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present or things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of the service. Father, we thank you for the roadmap that you have left us and the truth that you have placed within it, that we can know without a shadow of a doubt whether we are in your will or not. You tell us in your word that there will be many that will say, Lord, Lord, and I will say, I don't know who you are. Father, I pray that we would know that the way that we've walked, the things that we do, that they are pleasing to you. And that when our life is over, be it individually or come rapture, that you will be able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Father, we also know that Satan is out there trying to destroy everyone, trying to destroy everything, trying to get them to doubt, just like when he came to Eve. Father, I pray that you would strengthen us, that you would pray for us as you prayed for Peter, that our faith would endure, and we thank you for that. We pray this in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. We want to one more time go on bended knee, and for whatever lies on your hearts, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
From the Blue Book, number 349, I am resolved. 349.
Greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Good morning. Thank you, Brother Henry, for the wonderful message. I just have a couple announcements. I'd like you to draw you to the correction in the bulletin about the progressive supper that is being planned. This is the youth that are planning this, and it is for March 13th, 2024. Just so it's noted, there's a correction there. And also, today it's for the Young Adults in College and Careers event, which everybody can read there. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun for the young adults in college and careers. It's a way of connecting and bonding and building relationships. And just going to the prayer list, there's a lot of people that are struggling in our congregation. And I would encourage to lift each other up in prayer, but also the church leaders as well, the ministerial, that you lift us up in prayer as well. Thank you.
As for this morning's worship service, I have nothing more to bring you out of God's word, but want to thank you for coming, and may the Lord richly bless you as you continue your endeavors working for him. For closing, I want to bless you with the benediction, which we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 and 14. And in this verse also, Paul, he knows that his life is almost over in this world, and he says, farewell. We don't know when our life is over, but we always need to be ready for that, right? So will you unite with me? Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And you may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember, Jesus is watching.